Hi, welcome to the Gooder Podcast. I am your host, Diana Frike. As partner and CMO of Retail Voodoo, an award-winning branding agency, I have met and worked with some of the most amazing women in the naturals industry, food, beverage, wellness, and fitness. As such, I decided to create the Gooder Podcast to interview these great people and subject matter experts and have them share their insights and expertise to help businesses all around the world become gooder. So today I get to interview a friend of mine, Jessica Lyons, who currently serves as senior marketing manager for PCC Community Markets here in the Seattle area, the nation's largest community-owned food market. In this role, she lives out her foodie fantasies with a company centered around community and scratch-made organic food with a sustainable twist. Her greatest achievements at PCC include project managing an overnight co-op-wide rebrand, overhauling the in-store signage program, and developing a strategic revenue-generating vendor partnership program, which we'll be talking about a little bit more today. Prior to PCC, Jess's enthusiasm for running was the starting line for her 15 years in the outdoor industry. A native Texan, she proudly builds upon her hands-on experiences in a self-starter and is a self-starter by nature. When she's not working or running, she can be found leading community fitness, hanging out with her husband and son, or cooking up something plant-based in the kitchen. And like I said, she happens to be a good friend as well. Hi, Jess. Welcome.
Hi, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, how's your neck of Seattle today?
Somewhat sunny, a little bit warmer, you know. We're doing well over here.
I know. So for those of you not in Seattle, it's literally from one side of town can be completely different than other. And the world where Jess and PCC corporate offices actually are closer to the sound, Puget Sound, and they get more wind and rain and is literally 15 minutes from where our studio is. And weirdly enough, that 15 minute drive distance is sometimes 5 to 10 degrees and rainy or not rainy. So it's pretty crazy. That's why I ask how her neck of Seattle is.
Mm. Very true.
So listen, before we get into the world of Jessica, I wanted to start about PCC. Now, we worked with PCC, I want to say it's 150 years ago now in the life of a brand, but now PCC's gone through some pretty large revolution. Why don't you tell us who PCC is here regionally and then who you are at a national level, specifically for those people that might be in the conventional channels and not quite clear who PCC is in the movement of naturals and better for you products and brands.
Sure. I'll just start with, for those who don't know, PCC is the nation's largest co-op. Mm-hmm. And so we were started in the 50s, 1953, by a group of 15 families who basically came together because they wanted to do good in the community. And they wanted to bring more organic products, through the food chain. So that's who we still are today. You know, our goal is really to grow the organic food chain. We're here to partner with producers and ranchers that fit in our sustainability goals. And ultimately, we're super passionate about food. It's incredible to see the people that work at the company who've got these little, side passions just because they love food so much.
Yeah.
And we really just take a lot of pride in making so much of our food in store from scratch. Mm. As the nation's largest co-op, I think it's an interesting time to see where co-ops are going. And, yeah. It's been a struggle for many of them this past year. And, we've gone through a lot this year. But, I think we have laid the groundwork for, co-ops to grow. And hopefully there will be opportunities for grow-ups to continue to be a huge part of this industry. They're important to the industry. They're advocating for so many things. Yeah. And it's different and refreshing and a really awesome company to be a part of.
Thank you. And remind me if you, and you might not have a complete visibility on this, but back when we were working with PCC, the people within PCC were actually very heavily involved in some really monumental changes within the food industry at a national level, kind of driving organics. as a standard and around efficacy efforts. Is that still happening within kind of the, of course, upper here?
Yeah, absolutely. Our SER team, sustainability, environmental responsibility, they are constantly advocating, moving the needle, challenging things, mm-hmm. You know, putting out standards that are beyond, mm-hmm. you know, what they are. We just, this past year, I believe we launched a Chinook standard mm-hmm. that really just, it puts a stake in the ground for what we believe in. Yeah. We fight for things when they may not necessarily be the norm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it definitely separates us, but it also paves the way for so many others to do the same.
Yeah. So I've always, you know, and maybe it's because I think the Northwest is a leader in this war in this naturals movement, but I've always felt like PCC was kind of more the driver than the follower in a lot of what's happening in naturals.
For sure. For sure.
So I wanted to bring Jessica in because for a couple of reasons. So first of all, she's a rising star in the naturals community now. I've worked with her in the past. She's inquisitive, resourceful community and relationship builder in every sense of the world. And you have an important role at kind of this coveted natural grocery store that we just articulated. So it was a no-brainer for you to join them, and I'll refer to them as PCC because that's what we do here locally. You're here at PCC and you're using your relationship superpowers, helping build brands within the world of PCC so they can do more. But why don't we just talk about what is your role? You've somewhat built it coming into PCC, right?
Yeah, so I came to PCC as a retail marketing manager. I was, you know, we were going through a rebrand. Yeah. And my role was really to take this rebrand and bring it to life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, from there, I started to work my way up. I started grabbing some other things. And, you know, pulled myself into another position. And so now I oversee this department. And, you know, we've created a lot of different opportunities. One of them that I'm really proud of is creating a vendor partnership program, which you briefly spoke about in the introduction. And that was just an opportunity that I saw. You know, I came from the brand side when I worked at Brooks. And my role there was to find placement in stores. And so I had that sort of thought bubble in my head as I came to PCC. And I thought, man, we've got great opportunity to find ways that we can lift these brands up. When I joined, it probably wasn't the best time to be thinking that far ahead.
Yeah.
And so I, you know, I sort of sat on it. And then when the time was right, like it was an opportunity for us to do so. So we started small. We started with one brand to see how it would work. Mm-hmm. And, you know, pulling them into our brand and really mm-hmm. knowing that our language and how we speak is mm-hmm. very specific to mm-hmm. our shoppers.
Yeah.
And then, we built that out. We're 2 years in now, and it's not only created a revenue stream for our marketing team, but it has been a massive growth sales impact wise. And so it's fun. It is an absolute joy and honor and pleasure to be able to work so closely with our sales team mm-hmm. And to know that these brands are getting unique opportunities and to sort of shepherd, you know, from the beginning to the end and just see great results. Like, it's exciting.
Yeah. So a vendor partner program, is this unique within PCC, the Northwest, Naturals, or is this a program that we're generally seeing across as channel agnostic, so to speak? And if it is cross channel or channel agnostic, how is it that your program works differently than others?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think, you know, I've talked to a lot of people about it, and I think in some ways it exists. I think in my understanding is that some ways people are forced to play a little bit, and in other ways they want to play more. And so there's also opportunities where, you know, brands can just send their POP to stores, and we take a different approach. Ours are completely customized programs that we work with brands that we've chosen. on a month-to-month basis to bring alive. And so we've got tiered levels. Mm. And each of those tiers really depends on, you know, where does the brand want to be? Like, yeah. You know, they may be smaller and or we might see a great opportunity to launch a new product.
Yeah.
You know, what are all the touch points involved there? And so I work with them on that. I think the unique thing is that we're completely customizable. And, you know, even in COVID, it's been interesting because some of those things we couldn't do, like sampling has gone away. Yeah. Well, if we can't do sampling, what else can we do?
Right.
And so really, really working one-on-one with them. And I think that's, from what I understand, a little bit more unique than some of our friends out there in the industry. So,
yeah. Do you run into a common misconception about what you can and can't do in a vendor program, like from an over or under estimating standpoint?
I think one of them is just how much we can talk about.
Okay.
At one time, I think, sure. You know, there's so many brands on the shelf, as you know.
Yes.
There's, you know, everybody wants that space.
Yes.
And there's just not a lot of space and there's not a lot of time to talk about it. And so I think with PCC, we really look for moments that sync up with what we're doing, or sync specifically to an initiative that we have going on. And so we try to look for those moments. Another common misconception, at least with us, is that, you know, I think people think sometimes that they can just deliver goods and walk away. And we want a little, like, I'm working very, very closely to make sure that even though we're using our voice, that it also, we're going to use our voice, but we're going to make sure that it portrays what the brands want to see. So.
Gotcha. Is there anyone, I don't know if you can speak about a brand specifically, so if you can't identify who they are, is there any one situation that kind of that you've seen in the last couple of years where you're like, I can't believe the velocities that came out of that, like, was a surprise to everybody? Had you have one of those moments
in a partnership situation?
Yeah,
I mean, I remember doing a black cod promo with Alaska Seafood that blew my mind.
Really?
You know, it's a fish that, like, people love and they cherish, and it, you know, it's melty and all the fun things. And when it comes into season, we, like, Pacific Northwest, you know, we love it. And
we love our fish.
We love our fish. And it was a complete shock that it blew up. And it just, you know, a simple lift, a simple message, a simple follow through of all these touch points just really showed lift. I think it was like a 500% lift. And that
was, oh my gosh.
It was just beautiful. It was beautiful. It was awesome.
Yeah. Especially on a product that with that kind of a price point, like, that to me is pretty amazing.
Yeah. And we did some unique things. Like, you know, I think a lot of people don't know how to cook it. So we thought, okay, well, let's do what we call chef inspired, where we, you know, pre-marinate it for you and made it easy to do. And so just thinking through ways. And that was really fun to see. So
that's cool.
That one's an anniversary every year.
Well, that's sometimes what happens, hey?
Yep.
Yeah. So one of the things that I want to talk about, and this is my not so secret mission that I'm on with this podcast, aside from elevating amazing women like yourself, is challenging our natural's better for you industry to start thinking differently about underserved community. Now, PCC has already, while it has a small footprint compared to the rest of the retailers here, it kind of has an oversized footprint on its impact in the Seattle marketplace. And it's already kind of done some work in taking care of communities that have kind of, that are kind of being excluded from naturals right now. We're doing better, but there's so much more to do. In your day-to-day role in helping these brands reach these audiences with better for you communication and about PCC, and underneath the PCC mission, like, what is PCC doing that you can speak to? And is there anything that you do specifically within this vendor program that kind of is either helping entrepreneurs or the community at large of demographics that haven't been really serviced well?
Yeah. I think this is a great question. And I think I'll just start with the fact that all of us are learning and all of us are trying to find the best way to approach this, and including PCC. You mentioned it, but we've, you know, we've had unique opportunities in some of our stores that we needed to place product because it was what the community wanted from us. And so we've done that for years and years. But one of the things we've, I think it's been 2 or 3 years now, we've partnered with a group called Ventures here in Seattle, and they're a nonprofit group, and they work with entrepreneurs. A lot of them are low income or people of color or immigrants or women, and that are basically incubated to launch their products. And so our merchandising team works with them. And every year, again, I think it's been 2 or 3 years now, every year during Christmas, like we bring in some of their products, like extra products, and we have them in the store, and some of them have grown into products in our store. So that's a really cool initiative that we have, and it's been fun to see it grow. And then in general, just from a vendor partnership, it's always on our radar to find places where we can lift voices and lift products that are new to us or are, you know, fitting into this demographic where, we've partnered and now we've got this opportunity to lift. So, I think I spoke to, like, sometimes there's this custom, you know, they may not have the money. Okay. Here cares? Like, they're new. Like, let's just say that this is a great opportunity and let's lift it. Because it's really the right thing to do. And it's, it really gives them a leg up and gives them an opportunity. And I think that's really, really great. And it's been fun to work, with some of these brands.
Yeah. 2 years isn't really like a tremendous amount of time in the whole world of CPG. Are you seeing, like, what kind of benefits are you seeing, from these initiatives? Like, are you seeing, because these products are being brought into your store, that you're getting a different kind of reach, you're able to talk to new audiences, or are we just seeing a proliferation of new types of products or flavor profiles coming into PCC? What does that look like?
Yeah, I'd probably say the latter. You know, we have our members are very much a specific demographic that I, you know, I'm sure it changes over time as we go into different areas, but in general, it's probably similar. And I'd say our shopper is probably very similar as well, again, you know, pending the areas. But I do think, to your point, the flavors that we're seeing on our shelves, the products that we're seeing on our shelves, like that is just becoming more and more noticeable. And I think... it's unique to see. And one of the things that we haven't really talked about is PCC standards. And it's one of the biggest challenges that I would say that we come up against. It's not that these products don't exist, because they do. They're everywhere. The challenge that we have is that we have so many standards on what we can bring in that it limits. And so one of the things that our team, I think is just incredible, and this goes across the board, you know, if somebody submits a product that they see potential in, like, they'll work with them and ask them, like, hey, if you did this, this, and this, this would make this product more viable for PCC. And so they don't just say no. They they try to go back and they try to build a relationship when they see potential in something. And I give kudos to the team for all the extra work they do there, because they really don't have to do that. But they do. And I think it gives opportunities. And I've seen brands change formulas or change packaging. Just to have the opportunity. Well, one of the unique things about PCC and the general... like co-op world, when we think of it, is that we create buying power because we're a 15 store chain. We're no, we're no QFC, we're no Fred Meyer. But when we're bringing in a product as 15 stores, that can be a huge lift for a product, and that can create an opportunity that that may not have been there if they were just onesie twosie co-op. You know, it's a lift.
Yeah, it is.
It's important.
And I think we sometimes, as an industry, listen, there's a certain phase for every kind of CPG when we're reaching down and we're helping those underserved and underconnected and, you know, underrepresented founder owners kind of live their dream. It's so much easier to work with a brand that has that capacity, first of all, from a time commitment, but also an interest in raising that growth. You can't do that necessarily if you're a small manufacturer with Costco or Kroger. Like, they can't bring you in. You can't take care of them. And we need some real strong leadership at this smaller footprint size to kind of help grow and nurture those brands. And they'll, of course, be loyal. They'll be loyal brands to you forever for that, right?
Absolutely.
But PCC isn't necessarily into PCC solely for themselves. Yes, you need to make a profit, but it is very much community driven and all about doing what's right for the community. And I think that I just love that symbiotic kind of relationship that's being built through an initiative like that. It's pretty great.
Yeah.
Now, we're going to talk a little bit about, we're going to move away from PCC. We're going to talk about something kind of tricky and I don't know how to explain it, but it's like you and I have a little bit of a kindredship here, right? So you and I met when you were working at Brooks, and we were actually working with Brooks at the time. Also a smaller company with a disproportionate consumer footprint in a related category, like Brooks was selling the percentage of shoes that and product they were selling compared to a Nike and Adidas was pretty big considering the size of the brand. First, let's start with like what draws you to these types of brands. I feel like there's a community component, but I could be wrong. Is it just that you're following the opportunities, or do you feel like there's a draw one way or another? Can you even articulate it?
Yeah. I mean, I think a little bit in my bio, like I've personally followed my passions through most of my career through my entire career. Mm-hmm. But I do think, there is something to smaller brands. Mm-hmm. I think it's, you're scrappy, you're figuring it out, you're nimble, you're, mm-hmm. You're making some calculated risks at times to get ahead. And, you know, I think working for Brooks was interesting because, to your point, like they were gaining market share very, very quickly.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it was this small company out of Bothell, Washington.
Yeah.
And to know the behind the scenes is to really love them even more to see what they were doing as a brand. And, you know, wow, the past 3 or 4 years for them has just been incredible. And
yeah.
Still, it's not huge. It is not nearly at a level, but they are leading in so many ways.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, I think personally, I feel I also have a tendency, you and I have talked about this before, where I feel like in a smaller company for me, like I can touch and understand and be a part of a lot more. I think for me, maybe without even personally recognizing it, I think it's important to do that. I think it's important to be able to leave a footprint. And to know an impact, understand your impact.
Yeah, I get that. I think I've gone back and forth between large and small, but I find that my sweet spot, of course, now I've been here at Retail Voodoo since 2006, but before that it was kind of back and forth, small, large, but small is where I've landed for that reason. This is kind of, with this next topic, I kind of is where we take that turn, right? Where you and I, like I said, we share a little bit of a personality trait. We have this, I'm going to call it imposter syndrome-y thing going on. I don't think people outside of our bodies or outside of our inner circle might know that because they just see who we are as personalities. Yeah. I think we're both, it might drive us both because we're both high performers. But I wanted to talk about it a little bit with you simply because, you know, we are good friends and we can talk about this sort of thing in a way that other people maybe not want to, because I don't think anybody really wants to say that they feel like they have imposter syndrome publicly. But boy, have I heard it from a lot of women, mostly women as well.
It's real.
Yeah, it's real. And so I kind of, you know, from your perspective, here you are moving from here to here to here. And when we were talking about even having this episode, that was one of the things that you said that I was like, oh my gosh, we got to talk about this. You're like, I have a little bit of imposter syndrome. Like, so t- tell me a little bit about it, and how and where do you feel you run into it most, and then how do you wrangle that beast?
Yeah, I mean, yes, certainly. You know, I think to your point, like, people wouldn't necessarily probably look at me and say, like, she has imposter syndrome. And I think the same, like, you and I show up in a big mm-hmm. way. We show mm-hmm. up like we are grabbers. We are doers. We are motivated. We are like, yeah. and maybe it fuels us. And mm-hmm. thank God for that. Like, yeah, I will right? take that. You know, if I was, mm-hmm. if I was too confident, maybe I wouldn't be so confident. but, you know, it's I don't, you know, I have a friend of mine that we go back and forth on this on Instagram, and we talk about it, and, you know, where it comes from is possibly a myriad of places, you know, mm-hmm. depending on who you are in your life, depending on yeah. where you've been, depending on what companies you worked for yeah. and, yeah. you know, what communities you've been a part of. Mm-hmm. You know what, it definitely shows up in situations where I feel I'm comparing myself to other mm. people. Not necessarily I think that people are comparing me to other people, like I'm comparing. And
yeah, yeah.
You know, like kudos to these women you've had on this podcast, because it's incredible to see and to be inspired by these women that are just like kicking butt and, you know, starting companies and founding and being in all these places, because yeah. it's just inspiring to see.
Yeah. yeah.
And, you know, but I think anytime you are looking to someone that's, you can just feel, I want to be at that level. And I think maybe yeah. to your point, it fuels and it gives me motivation to do mm-hmm. better. It keeps me mm-hmm. curious. It mm-hmm. keeps me wanting to reach. It okay. keeps me wanting to learn.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? For me, it shows up like this, like I can articulate this. So when I was in college late in my junior year, I was in the marketing program at the UW, and the UW was currently, for whatever reason, disassembling their communications program. And my professor at the time said, if you want to be a creative person, you shouldn't be at the UW. You should go to art school. And I literally at the end of that quarter quit college and I went to art school. And now I've been, you know, here it is 25 years later, and I'm out here yeah. bumbling around, and I don't have my four-year degree completed.
Right.
And a lot of these women that I'm talking to have MBAs, and that mm-hmm. freaks me out. Like,
right.
why are they even talking to me? They're returning my phone calls. What the hell? You know, like I have right. a lot of, so usually kind of like what you're saying is, for me, it's when I'm running across somebody who's accomplished what I hope to accomplish mm-hmm. someday and mm-hmm. has the credentials that yeah. I don't have. And so mm-hmm. I kind of get wrapped up in my head, and that's how it shows yeah. up for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll share a similar story, actually. And this is one that I'll sometimes share to people when they like ask me about, like, what's your path? How'd you get
yeah.
there?
Yeah. Yeah.
I had a unique family situation where I didn't A, have the means to go to school, and mm-hmm. B, I couldn't. I was helping to support my family.
Yeah.
And so I've been working since I was 15. Mm-hmm. I have That's literally a long had a job time. Since yeah. I was 15. Mm-hmm. But even at 15, I was a hustler. Like yeah. The first job, it was like I started and within a couple of months, I was like yeah. a lead there, you know?
Yeah.
And then, and so I remember at one point I decided I should go back to school. So I okay. went and I started taking classes again. And I was probably 4 weeks into the class. And at this time I was managing a retail store in a fairly large mall outside of Pittsburgh. And at the end of a class, the professor calls me up and he was like, "What are you doing here?" And I was like, I'm here to get my degree. And he goes, "You could teach this class." Yeah, right? Like, here I am. Give me that degree. He looks at me and he goes, "You could teach this class." He's like, "I am going to tell you the best thing." And I was like, at the time I was young. He said, "Get your money back and go work the way you work." Mm. He was like, "You will learn so much more being in the position that you're in right now in life." And 20 years later, like, I have followed him. I have listened to that message over and over again. And mm-hmm. but still, it's the credentials that sometimes get yeah. me, where I'm like, I can't put that after my name, yeah. but I've got 20 years of hard
yep.
evidence and yep. hard learning. And, but yeah, I think the credentials, I think that's an interesting part of it.
Yeah.
I think where you just don't know.
Yeah. Well, I think there's so much weight. Especially now, I think in the last, 5 or 10 years, that secondary degree has become kind of a cachet. And not to say that there isn't anything to be learned from that, but it is certainly intimidating,
Certainly.
And so I find, this is what I do. I don't know what you do, but like, for example, I'm interviewing amazing people like this. And my engineer, Matt, he's heard me say this a number of times. In my calls, I'll say, I'm really intimidated. I'm intimidated by your success. And so if I trip and I stumble, that's what's going on. And I'll get over it in just a moment. And I think the getting it out into the open and the honesty, I've always seen to be responded so well. And there's this kind of reciprocation from this other person that how do you know that, an advanced degree or success in business is going to intimidate somebody? And so it's just kind of, you can see this physical shift in them, not an embarrassment, but just kind of like, oh my gosh, I'm talking to a human here, right? I kind of bring the guard way down. But that's always been my approach, is to just kind of acknowledge it in front of the person, or even just to myself out loud, sometimes just hearing it like, oh, I'm intimidated by this person because of blank.
Yeah, I think that's great advice, actually. And I think it humanizes us, right? I think to that person, they may not know that you see them in that way. And they may share a story that was like, oh my God, listen, I have it too. I feel like as humans, like, it's so second nature, or it's just like, you want, like, there's always that strive. Like, if you strive to be a better person in life, you are constantly looking at inspirations. But I think your inspirations, even when I think of running, right? It's like intimidating. You have this imposter syndrome. People ask me all the time, like, oh, you're such a good runner. And I have the same imposter syndrome in running as I do. And you know me.
I do.
And I'm super humble about what I've done. And I'm just like, well, and the truth is, like, I've been doing it for 20 years. I don't need to have an imposter syndrome. And so maybe it keeps us growing. Maybe it keeps us learning. Keeps us fighting. And I'm okay with that.
So are you able to identify when other people come to you in advice for advice, whether it's personal, professional, or running or something like that? Are you able to identify that? Like, I know that we're talking about it very, very specifically right now, and you may not identify it as imposter syndrome, but can you see it when other people come to you and they're like, I don't know how to, like, are you able to go, okay, here's what I think is going on. Have you considered blank? Can you see it? And then if you do, what do you say?
So can I see imposter syndrome in other people?
Yeah.
I've never really thought about that. Yeah. No, because I feel like I'm really great at giving the advice that I should give myself.
Oh, I know. Isn't that funny? Okay, fair. Totally fair. I don't know that I don't think that I see it in other people either. Frankly, I think you and I are the same. I think those of us that are afraid of being caught tend to have a little bit bolder personalities. It's kind of like a little bit of a facade in some way, shape, or form. But then we're also just driven to make sure that whatever it is that we believe in ourselves isn't true. So we keep moving forward.
Yeah. Or maybe it keeps us humble, maybe it helps us to, a friend of mine the other day, he said to me, he said, I wish you could see yourself the way the world sees you. And I thought, I appreciate that, but I think not being able to see the entire picture enables me the opportunity to keep wanting, I think it's really interesting, and I actually think it's a conversation that should be normalized much younger. We talk a lot about normalizing conversations, and it's like you sit with girlfriends or guy friends, and they let's talk about what this is. How did you get here? What is it, and how can we help you get over this hurdle, or just understand this hurdle and when it shows up, and when you need to be okay with it or to fight it?
For sure.
So,
I think so. I think, this podcast is all about normalizing a lot of different things that we're not seeing right now in the naturals. It kind of ebbs and flows, of course, but I think also kind of like mental headspace can be normalized too. I think in any case, I think of a lot of people out there that probably share a lot of our thoughts. I look at, think of like Kara Golden over at Hint. I think she talks publicly a lot about things that she regrets, maybe not regrets, but you know, things that she's like, listen, I did this, this, and this, and that's normal. Like, don't freak out about it. Just keep going.
Yeah, totally. Just, yeah. Her story is awesome.
I know.
Well,
I outside of, like I said, you are this community builder. So it makes sense that you're, now we are working at a place with community. Your whole job is to create relationships and community. But you also outside in your personal life, you extend into some social activities like the November Project. There's also, I don't know if you're still working with this group, COVID may have shut it down for a while, where you were working with homeless people and getting them involved in running, which seems like the most bonkers thing you could ever hear, you could think of. And yet when you talk about the organization, it makes complete sense what you're trying to do, what that group is trying to do. Why are these initiatives so important to you and how do they fuel you? You might even talk about what that project is, because I don't remember what it is, but I found it so fascinating.
Yeah, that's a beautiful organization. It's called Soul Train, and it comes out of Recovery Cafe. Yeah, I actually, after I had my son, I didn't have the capacity to to stay involved, but I was involved for a couple years beforehand and kind of rejuvenating the program. And it was exactly what you said. It was bringing exercise and introducing people to running, starting with a walk, many of them. Mm-hmm. And the confidence that it built in them and the community that it gave them and the place that they were welcome. And I watched it change many lives.
Yeah.
Give them goals, see them just explode as humans. And so that was a great program to be a part of. Mm-hmm. I think I have always been drawn to community. It's something that I did when I was younger. You know, I was always involved with sports, and I think there was some softball specifically, and basketball and volleyball, and those are very much team sports. I didn't actually find running until much later. Mm.
From your dad, right? The running part.
Yeah. Good old dad. Definitely. Yeah. The interesting thing about running is, while I enjoy it as a singular sport, I think it's my meditation. It's my movement meditation. Gotcha. When I'm alone, it has also brought some of my greatest communities and opportunities. And mm-hmm. So I think community for me, it is a place where people find themselves. It's a place where you find a connection. And you mentioned November Project, and I haven't led that group in a couple years, but I stay involved with the group, and I kind of run a virtual running group as a spinoff, going a year strong. I think when people, it gives me great joy to see people find community and to know that they belong to a place and to know that they can show up in whatever form they are that day and be part of something that is bigger than them. And when they might not have ever connected in life. And that was the beauty of November Project. It's for those who may not know, it's a free fitness movement that is in 52 cities globally now. And we happen to have one in Seattle, and it's been around for, I think we're going on 6 years.
Oh my goodness.
And it's people from all walks of life. It is all abilities. It is, coder by day, but like runner by morning. And we've got, you know, people all over the place, and it just people make us better. And yeah, I know I'm better when I'm with people. And so I think that's why I throw myself out there probably a little too much sometimes to create community, but it's always been a benefit for me and hopefully a benefit for others. So
yeah, I'm sure I think maybe a little bit for you too. I think these external communities are a chosen family.
Yeah.
You know, like things get tricky at certain points in your life. And for those of us who had trickier upbringings, where things weren't like awesome or stable, I'm just putting some real general terms out there.
Sure.
as an adult, these communities are like chosen families in some way, shape, or form, adopted families. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that's how you see, but for me, that's always how it's shown up.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to sound like, growing up, I was very involved in church, and that was my community.
Yeah.
And just through the years and moving, and, you know, I don't really have a practice anymore, yeah, so to speak. But,
yeah,
you know, you move somewhere and you don't know how to find it. And I think as we get older, it is so much harder. And we have families. Yeah. It is so much harder to find community.
Yeah.
And so if I can be someone who creates community or lets people feel a sense of community, that's fulfilling.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Wow. That's been this just super fun. I always love, I learned even more about Jess, and I've known her for years now. Of course, with a little one, we haven't spent much time. And now that you live 15 minutes away, it's kind of hard to, you know, get together on the regular. Again, those of you in Seattle will understand that whole geographic mess. We'll just put that kindly. But so that was fun. So thank you. There are some questions that I ask every guest. And so this is where we're now at that time. And the first one is there some sort of fact or story about the industry or any of the products that you work with, PCC or Brooks or something else, some sort of, I call it a happy hour tidbit, something that I'd share with my friends when I connect with them that you'd like to share?
I don't know so much as like a fact or a story. Like I'm just really inspired by the innovation that's going on right now. And our customers are demanding so much more.
Yeah.
They want transparency in products. They want to see everything from a carbon footprint to, you know, like very specific labeling. And I just am so in awe of brands that are stepping up to this challenge because let's face it, it is not easy.
No.
And it is ultimately going to make us all better in the long run. And so I don't know. I think it's interesting. And I think it is an inspiring time to be part of this industry and am very excited to see, you know, where things go. Like why settle?
Right.
Let's keep up in the game.
Exactly. Exactly. And yeah, I just spoke with Cynthia Tice, founder of Lily's, and like she's now like, so the next thing she wants to tackle is packaging waste. So I'm like, okay, I'm done running a brand. Now I want to save the world a different way. I'm like, let's do it. Right. I love those stories. And she's like, I got to figure it out. And that's all. You know, when I see those kind of folks like that who've been in the industry for a while, ready to, you know, take up the torch and do something else, that's super exciting for me from an innovation standpoint. I love that. Who are those you might have one or two women leaders or rising stars, whether it's in our industry or not, who is it that you are just interested in following and why?
Oh, good question. Two women you introduced me to, over at, Top, the Organic Project, Danielle and Thyme. I am crazy inspired by what they are doing. Mm-hmm. And you want to talk about people who are kicking some butt.
I know.
It is awesome. And again, like they found an industry of period products and said, nuh-uh, like we can make this better and we're going to make this better. And they are doing it. So, I'm just going to give a shout out to them. I think that is an inspiring place to be.
Yeah. So. They are, incidentally, the hardest working humans. I am not joking. Danielle is everywhere.
No doubt.
When do you sleep, woman? I do not know. She's pretty great. What brands or trends are you keeping your eye on right now?
I eat a plant-based diet. So I am once again, like really loving all of the plant-based products that are coming out right now. And, you know, it's, it's more and more and more from the Milks, M-Y-L-K, you know, to, you know, Oatly. If nobody's paying attention to what they're doing right now, like, that's, they're a great brand. But, you know, and even brands that are just, again, challenging themselves to say, like, this is a movement that's not going away. Like, people are waking up to the sustainability of it, to the wellness behind it, and they're seeing how it fits into their world. And so while they may not eat a plant-based diet in everything, having options in beauty and healthcare and all of these things, like, having those as an option is going to separate someone in the organization. It was, we were working with a soap company who just the other day decided, you know what, we're going to remove beeswax. Why? Because we can do it without it. And so, you know, they just decided, like, and there this you was, go. You know, in soap, it's like, if you can do it and it still makes your product great, like, you know, why not?
Why not?
So, so yeah, I think personally I'm following those just from a, it's awesome to see. And like, I'd love to uplift and, you know, make sure that they're getting their space too.
Oh my gosh. So how are you keeping yourself sane and centered these days?
Running, as we've talked about before. Yeah, just trying to give myself the space to actually tap out. And I think that's been a conversation I've had with a lot of people lately of, you know, how do you actually walk away? I heard a really cool story the other day of, you know, a woman who, she was having a really hard time. And she just couldn't disconnect. And so her family stepped in and they said, Mom, you're not allowed to come home until you shut your laptop, you put it in your backpack, and you walk up to us and say, I'm home. And at that point, like, we will talk to you. Like, we, like, you have left it all there and you are now. Like, that is your cue. And I just thought that was a really great practice because some people aren't blessed enough to have an office. You know, they're working from their kitchen. It's like finding a practice that you can say, this is where the day ends.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think is really, really important.
Oh, I love it. Hey, if people want to connect with you, what is the best way? Like, do you, LinkedIn? Are you, I know you got, you're pretty active on Instagram. What's your preference?
Yeah, either are great. I think LinkedIn's a great place to find me. Okay. I'm probably more responsive on Instagram.
Okay.
But either of those are great.
So you're under Jessica Lyons with one L, L-Y-O-N-S, correct?
With L-Y-O-N-S, yep. And then Instagram is Lyons Queen 117.
Of course.
My last name is Lyons, so.
Oh my gosh. Well, thank you, Miss Jessica, for your time today and for your commitment to the good work that you're doing at and with PCC for the community at large. I, of course, appreciate you, man. I appreciate what you bring to this conversation. So thank you.
Yeah, thank you for having me, and thank you for just kind of riffing on some candid conversations, and hopefully someone can hear it and take away something that we've said today.
So. Might stick. All right. Yeah. We'll see you soon.
This episode is sponsored by Retail Voodoo, a creative marketing firm specializing in growing, fixing, and reinventing brands in the food, beverage, wellness, and fitness industries. If your Naturals brand is in need of positioning, package design, or marketing activation, we're here to help. You can find more information at retail-voodoo.com. And so there you go. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today. And if you haven't already, be sure to subscribe to this channel and share with your network. Until next time, be well and do gooder.